show your mama. You know, I speak for the fans in a lot of ways. I know how they feel. They're great. They're loyal. They want a bang for their buck.
We know how you feel because we feel the same way too. This is Sportsnet 650, home of the Canucks. My name is Dr. Tej Dhaliwal, and I'm joined by Sat Obroy, Nav Desange, and Ryan Cattermole. We are the Larshcast.
Hold up. Hold up. Hold up. Hope you're ready for the next episode. Hey.
Good morning, Vancouver. You're listening to the Larshcast. My name is Sat, and I'm here with Tej, Nav, Joey, and producer Joel Gaudette. We have a very abbreviated version of the Larshcast for you this morning. We're going to go till 11 a.m., so we have about an hour and a half with you all. And that is not enough time to get into all of the, I don't know what you call it, dysfunction around the Vancouver Canucks at this current state in time. We had the Canucks, you know, hoping to start, or the league hoping the Canucks would start playing on Friday with the second game today on Saturday. But, you know, there's been a lot of back and forth within the media, and specifically JT Miller talking to the media, the NHL talking with the Vancouver Canucks, and the PA getting involved. And now we do have a return to play for the Vancouver Canucks tomorrow, Sunday, April 18th at 4 p.m. when they do take on the Maple Leafs. So we're going to get into a whole bunch of things, you know, surrounding the Vancouver Canucks here today. And we're going to talk to Joey Kenward at 10 o'clock in about a half an hour's time to get into some of the inside knowledge that he might have surrounding the team and what their thought process will be going into the game against the Leafs on Sunday. So let's bring in the rest of the group here. So, Tej, what do you think generally about what is going on around the Vancouver Canucks? It's a hard question to answer with just, you know, a one line or two, but just give me your thoughts of where you sit as a fan of the Vancouver Canucks. Maybe go to Nav.
Is he done?
He's done.
It's finally happened. He's got nothing to say.
Are those sirens because Tej got taken away, or what's going on?
No. Okay. Sorry.
He's been arrested.
I have been arrested. No.
Ted, you go first. He asked you first, and you woke up from your nap, so go ahead, you go first.
So as a fan of the Canucks, sorry, guys, I'm just worried for the boys, you know. I don't know what to expect, and, you know, it's going to be watching tomorrow's game is going to be one of those situations where I'm just going to, like, just tune in to see the state of the team, and there's no expectations for them to win or even to you know, battle hard enough to compete against the Toronto Maple Leafs, you know, the league leading, the division leading Leafs. And it's going to be, you know, the other side of it is I'm wondering how compassionate the Leafs are going to be for the Canucks, you know? Like, the rest of the league in the division here, in North Division, understands what the Canucks just went through. Will they let off a little bit? I mean, isn't that the human side of the sport? And I know that there's a playoff spots on the line and whatnot, but say the Leafs come out hard and they get an early lead, it's 2-0, 3-0. Will they let off a little bit? Will they not make that full body contact in the corner? That's what I'm kind of curious. I'm worried for the team. I'm wondering what the Leafs are going to do in response to and how this hockey game is going to be played out. Like what kind of brand of hockey are we going to see? So that's just my general thought on the team situation. But regarding the whole mess around COVID, I mean, we've all heard so many different variations of the stories and you know, even different representations of who's at fault and whatnot. You know, we've heard the Whistler stuff, we've heard the dinner, you know, the whatnot, and we've also heard some interesting other things that I don't think we have a right to say anything about that because it's not our place. But I just think that it doesn't matter where the blame lies. At the end of the day, these guys got sick, their families got sick. And all I can think about is just their health. I just want them all to get healthy, back to 100%, back to baseline, so that they can resume normalcy and just leave this in the past. And that's just my general train of thought. I don't know how you feel, Nav.
Who's to blame? We discussed this, guys. We've kind of discussing it on, you know, on WhatsApp the last few days and our phone conversations. Who's to blame? Are the players to blame? They live in this province. You know who's to blame? I think the provincial government's to blame. I think the federal government's to blame. We watch all, you know, for the last year, we were laughing at the states. We were laughing at the USA. Look, oh, look at Florida. They're getting, you know, how many thousands of cases a day, and we're kicking butt. In fact, funny enough, I went back and I watched one of our old podcasts. We were kind of praising, you know, the provincial government, praising Bonnie Henry right around the time where the bubble started and, you know, Vancouver, BC refused to hold it because they didn't want to follow through with some of the NHL rules. But now look where we are a year later. I mean, I think what's happened is, more than anybody else, I think the provincial government has failed us. Now, we have these rumors about, hey, they went to Whistler, you know, there was dinners or whatever. Let me ask you guys this. Was that against the rules? Were they not allowed to go to Whistler? Yeah, that was like, hey, guys, don't go to Whistler. Don't do this. Was Whistler shut down when they went? Were some of these restaurants that they supposedly dined at shut down when they went? We've all been to restaurants. We've all gone on maybe trips. We know family members or friends have gone on trips during this time. You know why they've gone, guys? Because it isn't against the rules. Whistler wasn't closed. A restaurant, a steakhouse in downtown or whatever was not closed. So they weren't breaking rules.
The one thing about Whistler, though, now, if I can interject here, I think it was because of the variant outbreak that was occurring. No,
but that's fine.
That's what the concern was. And if you're... You know, go ahead.
But, you know, fair enough. No, absolutely. They should have been smarter. But did they break any rules? They did not break any rules. Maybe they should have been smarter. The people that, you know, obviously the Gaudette's names are out there, but we don't want to accuse anybody. We don't know how we got there. Anybody could have got sick, right? But whoever did it, did they break any rules? They could have been smarter, but they didn't break any rules.
Yeah, rules are one thing. Like, you know, hockey teams and other sports teams, they have curfews and things like that.
Yeah.
That's a rule. But just because you have curfew doesn't mean you're going to go out and get plastered at dinner.
Absolutely.
And still make curfew. Like, yeah, you know, the people do, but there's a sense of responsibility, you know, when you have a responsibility to 23 other people in the room.
I agree with that. So I will say this, you know, to me, the majority of the fault, I'm going to say the government has failed all of us and they failed the team. However, that being said, I do agree that, you know, they owe each other something because they're in this, you know, semi-bubble to protect each other. But what scares me now coming to the game tomorrow or thinking about the team is, not so much what's going to happen on the ice because, you know, like, hey, I have full respect for the players that they're going to go out there and try their level best. It's, to me, it's like, what does the organization look like across the NHL right now? You know, TJ was saying, are the other teams going to take it easy on them? I think it's just the opposite. I think some of these other teams, especially in the Northern Division that have to change their schedule, are kind of annoyed and perhaps kind of disappointed in the Vancouver Canucks, even though I don't think it's completely their fault.
Well, so hold on.
But they're disappointed in them.
And disappointed in the players? I mean, we've seen other teams go through outbreaks.
But not to this level, TJ. Not to this level. And we have discussed this on the Larshcast before. Is like, you know, when the teams like the Devils and the Dallas Stars went through this and other teams. This is the biggest outbreak, and not just the NHL. This is the biggest outbreak in professional sports. Like, that's embarrassing, not only as an organization, but as a province, as a country, how this happened to the Vancouver Canucks. It hasn't happened in Europe. It hasn't happened anywhere in North America. It happened here. So it's not a good look, even though, like, let's not blame anybody for a second being here in the where we are. But across the world, maybe somewhere in Florida, Dallas, wherever, maybe they don't get all the information. They're probably thinking, wow, it's a mess up there in BC. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't look good on us as an organization or as a province.
Joey, how do you feel?
Well, I mean, I don't want to echo exactly what was just said there, but there's a lot of points that were hit on that I agree with. I want to touch more on the team coming back from this, if I can. Because we've all heard the horror stories about, like, the after effects and how much it takes out of you. I mean, we saw footage of Bo Horvat giving a presser. He looks like he's dropped 15 pounds. He's pale. He looks terrible right now, and I don't know how that's going to translate to the on-ice product. I'm worried for the team in general. I mean, what are we going to see? Are we going to see a completely damaged Canucks roster? Are we going to see, like, mainly taxi squad guys who kind of stayed away from what happened? What are we going to be even seeing on the ice?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, and you did bring up the taxi squad, and, you know, that's another thing I want to get into today. Here on the Larshcast on Sportsnet 650 is, you know, there's going to be an opportunity here as well for some of the kids, as we'll call them today, is, you know, Cole Lind, Jonah Gadjevich, Jack
Louis
Rathbone,
Erickson.
Louis Erickson, you know, the 36-year-old, however old he is, kid, right? These players are going to have an opportunity.
Louis Erickson was one of the guys that didn't.
I think he was a close contact, though.
He was a close contact.
Yeah, he's still in quarantine, I think. But
yeah, he's coming.
Poor
off
guy doesn't play a game, and he's still in protocol.
Poor guy.
Big Lou.
The opportunity of a lifetime to get in the lineup, and he's stuck in 14.
But like, I know we're going to discuss it. I know we're going to discuss it. But like, to me, it's like, let's forget about the Canucks for a second. Let's talk about the schedule. Let's talk about this need that they had to try to start him on Friday. Like, how bad does? Let's just say they start on Friday. Like, JT Miller doesn't come out, doesn't make these comments, and they come out on Friday. And let's say they play and they get just absolutely slaughtered, like 10-0, 11-1, whatever, right? And somebody gets hurt. Quinn Hughes plays, he gets hurt. Bo Horvat plays, he gets hurt. Forget about the Canucks as an organization. How bad does that look like on the NHL to put these guys in that situation? I mean, tomorrow's not much better, but at least they get a couple
they
days.
They originally had a back-to-back scheduled Friday and Saturday. Yeah. Absolutely
and
ridiculous.
Not only was it the Friday-Saturday back-to-back, there was the day off Sunday, and then there was a Monday-Tuesday back-to-back.
Yeah.
Like, the National Hockey League has made... We talk about the East Coast bias a lot. You know, it's kind of a staple of the large cast. This is beyond an East Coast bias. This is just a hatred of the Vancouver Canucks.
You're bang on, Joey.
Why don't you tell us how you really feel, Joey?
Well, it's like my dad and my grandma used to always complain about how Mick Magoo, whenever he would ref Canuck games, would completely throw against the Canucks. And yeah, it was like, oh, big game, Canucks are trying to get into the playoffs, they got to play Colorado. Oh, Mick Magoo's the ref, they just lost. And then, you know, but it always seems like that. And then there's we all have the 2011 was an inside job thing and all that. We have the cap recapture penalty. Everybody, like, what did Vancouver do to Gary Bittman? Like, what did we do to this guy? Were we...
We boo the hell out of him every time he comes. So
like, was it?
What everybody does.
Was it literally the case that when, because Bettman took over as commissioner in '94, right? So he would have been there for the Canucks and Rangers series. So was it that he was there for Game 6 at the Coliseum just in case the Rangers won, which they wouldn't have done? And did Vancouver see him and boo him there? And we were the first to boo him, and Bettman was like, "Huh, take note of that."
You know what?
Is this anything?
I was just going to say, so today, because of our abbreviated show, we don't have a special segment dedicated to hashtag is this anything. But what we'll try to do is to try to mix these is this anything notes throughout the show. So I think, Joey, you just kicked it off real well. You had a couple of humdingers
good
in
ones.
There.
But
so
I
was just going to say, just to piggyback off what you said there, you know, whenever Gary Bettman does... you know, step down as commissioner, because we all know he's not going to get let go. It's his job for as long as he wants it.
Look, as much crap as we can talk about Bettman, he has done great things to grow the game compared to where it was in the early 90s when he took over to where it is now. We have teams in Vegas, we have two teams in Florida, three teams in California. Like, Bettman has done great things for the growth of the National Hockey League. Nobody can use that against him. It's been to the detriment of Canada at some points. We lost two franchises, got one back, but... At the end of the day, Bettman has been good for the National Hockey League, but I will still boo that man every time I see him.
So when he steps down and someone, you know, takes over for him, is this anything? I think the Canucks will win the Stanley Cup the first year of a new commissioner.
No,
because... no, dynasty. No. 4 years.
No, you got to get rid of Bettman and Colin Campbell, isn't it? You got to get
no,
rid of
and Bill Daly.
And Daly?
Daly. Oh my god.
What about his
complete
ridiculous
overhaul.
His ridiculous comments, he's like, we're not twisting anybody's arms to play. I'm like, well, that's the stupidest thing. He's like, we do this during the Olympics. I know you don't, Bill. There's not a pandemic that's killing people worldwide during the... It just, I mean, that was just an asinine comment to me. I sat there listening to this, and I had to replay it a couple of times. Like, there's no way this guy would have said that. He's, you know, he's a deputy commissioner. Like, what
you have
the
to,
heck is wrong
you have
with you?
To read between the lines all the time. Like, well, what's the commissioner's job and the deputy commissioner's job? Is it that they're responsible to put as much money in the pockets of the owners and the board as possible, right? So they're going to look at it from that point of view, and their sole job is to make sure every team plays 56 games. The health and welfare of the players is probably not first and foremost. That's why there's a union. That's why there's a union, right? The union has to step into that.
But so let me ask you this before. Sorry, TJ goes there. If this was the Boston Bruins, if this was Jeremy Jacobs, I guess is that the owner's name, or the guy that owns the Philadelphia Flyers, or you know the New York Rangers, or you know what, even as much as you like to crap on them, even the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm not sure if they have as much power as the previous three teams
they
named.
Oh yeah, they do.
Okay, let's just say these four teams: the Leafs, the Bruins. We know the Bruins have power. We know it because the owner is like the chairman of the board. If this happens to the Bruins, this happens to the Boston Bruins, do they come back with the schedule the Canucks have?
No, they don't play for another month.
Does Jeremy Jacobs allow this to happen? No, he doesn't. So why are, like, say what you want about Francesco, you know, good owner, bad owner. You know, he's done a lot for this team. He's, you know, he's always paying to the cap. So why is he not respected? Why is this Canuck organization not respected like some of these other markets are?
Arthur Griffiths would never.
Yeah. Well, longevity, right? I mean, Jacobs has been around for decades, and Aquilini's been around for, you know, a couple of decades. So it's not, not even a couple of decades, but like it's something that on the East Coast, you know, the NHL had offices in New York. Boston is a stone's throw away from New York. You know, there's something there that you can get FaceTime and you can have more influence with the commissioner and people who run the league. It's just a matter of geography, I think. It's as simple as that. Francesco Aquilini lives in the Lower Mainland. He's not going to be able to make it out to New York and see Gary Bettman and the league offices every time there's a problem that the Canucks are facing. He's not going to be able to go and bang on a door, right? It's a
Hop
phone call.
Hop on the private jet, come on.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. It's going to take him, I don't know, 5-6 hours, another 5-6 hours back. He'll probably just put in a phone call, which is not going to have the same weight as, you know, literally banging down someone's door. So I think there's something to said about that.
I want to talk about another aspect of this whole situation, and that's the closing of practice to the media. Now,
why did I know you're going to bring this up?
Well, because we have a unique perspective on this, being kind of fan-associated media. You know, some people like to say we are media, but we don't have those passes to the games yet. But we also, and I...
Hey, I do for the BCHL.
I also personally represent a healthcare perspective on it. And so I see both sides of the story, but I firmly stand behind one. But here's what I wanted to say about this. What would possibly be the benefit of even having media availability for the first practice back after a major health event? Like, what could possibly be reported other than what we already know? The players look out of it. They don't look 100%. Did we really need, like, 20 people saying the same thing and just drawing more attention to this story that, as far as the players are concerned, they're just trying to get back to 100%. They're obligated to play. I mean, they can opt out, but if these guys are athletes, they're competitors, they're not going to opt out. They want to play. But they're all concerned about getting healthy and concerned about their families. Yeah. Now, I do understand when you had media there initially, you could see, oh yeah, Adam Gaudette was the first one off the ice, and then a story broke out, and yeah, that was, you know, you can say it's important to know those details. Some people might argue that, some people may not, but either way, that was a story that developed, which is fine. But now we're on the back end of it, and if they want to protect the players for one practice, I have absolutely no problem with that. And I think it was a bit of an overblown, maybe a little entitled reaction. I don't know how you guys feel, but it's just one practice. And I don't know why it became a big deal or even semi-big deal that it was closed for that, you know, for that reason.
Well, I go at it from 2 points. I mean, I agree with you. Okay, no, first of all, I will say the media has a job to do, right? I mean, I'm not going to say they have a right to be there, but, you know, they have a job, and it's kind of, I think it goes by NHL protocols.
They do,
they do. However,
it's literally written in the CBA. They have a right to be there.
To be there, yeah.
Yeah, but this is a unique circumstance, so, which also it doesn't have stated procedure for, you know?
Yeah, so therefore it goes by the regular protocol of what the CBA states. If, like, sure, they can't go down to ice level, but if they have practices, the media has a right to be there. The players and the owners signed off on the CBA. It gives the media certain rights.
I will say that. I will agree with that. However, TJ, you know, you being a doctor will agree. Listen, we've had COVID outbreaks where I work. They haven't been outbreaks, but they've been COVID cases, right? And not once have we, everybody knows who probably tested positive because you can kind of just do the numbers, right? But not once did the management or the, you know, the supervisors ever tell us, hey, this person tested positive, because that's, you know, medically, you're not allowed to share information with somebody. That's personal. That's private. We all know on this Canuck organization who tested positive. I mean, it's coming out now, but that's because Bo Horvat came out yesterday and said it, right? It's not the right of anybody. It's not the right of Jim Benning. It's not the right of Francesco Aquilini or anybody to report, hey, this guy tested positive, unless that player or that individual wants to share that information. That's just a medical fact. TJ, I'm not sure if that's 100% accurate, but is that medical conditions of certain people, not their own? Doctors aren't allowed to share that information.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, patients have a right to their privacy, and to you know, request any information requires, you know, a certain format to go through. But the NHL is different. They have protocols in place where they have to reveal the names of the players and everybody who's on the COVID list. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean you have COVID. It just means you're in the protocol. And that's part of the agreement that they made. And I think transparency is important in this case. But the thing about going back to the what Joey was talking about, the right to be there, I absolutely understand they have a right to be there. But in a unique circumstance like this, whether or not they're going to get a warning or a fine, I don't care. I side on the team, like, protecting the players here, because let's be honest, the entire organization, players, management, ownership, they all understand the voracious nature of media coverage in this market. Everybody understands it. And while it may have been extremely fair, like right now at these practices or that practice that was closed, I think an organization opting to provide their players with a little sense of relief, it seems almost too logical and within reason. Don't you guys agree? Like, nobody would have to look over their shoulders afraid of being judged, or even though we know it likely wouldn't have happened, but like, let's be honest, the reputation of media in this town precedes itself. I can't.
They're professional athletes.
No, but Joey, I can't find a single fault. I can't personally find a single fault in this line of logic, offering players an extra layer of insulation and protection as they recover from one of the most difficult situations they've ever faced as individuals and collectively as a team.
Then don't put numbers on the back of the jerseys. Like, if you want your privacy, just don't put numbers on the back of the jerseys.
You can tell who's out there playing.
No, I don't think it's about that, right? I think it's not that they said, the Canucks said, it's closed practice for the rest of the season. It was literally just for this short little window. But the problem here is going to be, is it might set a precedent for not only the Canucks, but other teams, which may not be, you know, something that the league and teams would want to go down and have a firestorm with, you know, media pushing back on things. Because it'll be easy to look back and say, well, the Canucks did it when they had their COVID issues. Now, I think it's appropriate for, you know, the Colorado Avalanche to do it once they're ready to go, because they're going through a similar thing, but they've shut down, you know, likely a bit sooner. They're going to miss 3 games. Hmm. Right? So
the number one thing, guys, I saw yesterday and think that we need to focus on is how Horvat looked. And I know Joey mentioned that earlier. I think that's a sign, and he said it too. That's a sign and maybe a notice to the rest of the province, the rest of the countries. This is professional athletes that were sick, violently sick, some of them, right? And you look at Bo's eyes, you can tell, man, this guy was not feeling well. So I'm going to say it, and I'm sorry if I offend anybody. If you are stupid enough not to follow the rules out there, come on, guys, listen.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we'll get into this with Joey Kenward coming up in about 5 minutes' time. So stick around. You are listening to The Large Cast here on Sportsnet 650, your home of the Vancouver Canucks.
Sportsnet Today with the Larsh Cast. Now hear are your boys on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
All right, welcome back to the Larsh Cast here on Saturday, April 17th. And we're going to be speaking with Joey Kenward coming up in a few moments. And Joey Kenward is always brought to you by HBD Homes, a design, build, new home builder with over 20 years of experience specializing in new home construction, laneway homes, and renovations. Please visit hbdhomes.ca and their Instagram page at hbd_homes or call 778-968-1491. Before we get into more hockey talk, we just wanted to send our thoughts and prayers out to the families of those affected in the shooting out in Indiana the other day at the FedEx warehouse, and especially the Sikh community that was affected. I think as of last report, there are 8 fatalities and 6 of the fatalities were members of the Sikh community. So, you know, us at the Larsh Cast here, we do have members of the same faith, and we do want to send our thoughts and prayers to that whole community out there in Indiana. So it is a, you know, it's a somber topic there, but we are here to talk about hockey. So let's get back to hockey here. Before we bring Joey on, you know, we were talking off air just a bit more about the return to play. And one thing we didn't really mention last segment is, you know, the Maple Leafs also had a little part to play in the Canucks kind of rejigging of the schedule here. Originally, the Canucks were thought to have been playing back-to-back Sunday, Monday. Maple Leafs get involved and, you know, I guess going to the league and asking for that kind of to be relaxed. So, you know, we talked about how the East Coast bias might be a real thing, and the Leafs do have that pull with the NHL. But I think Joey Kenward is ready now. Joey, how are you doing?
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
We're very well. Thank you for joining us here on this beautiful Saturday morning.
Oh, I mean, tough
not
to
a cloud
beat
in the sky.
When you've got a day like today, it is tough to beat. And I know there's so many of us that are struggling right now, whether it's at the workplace, on the home front, whatever it might be. But hopefully, whether it's you guys when you finish your show or wherever you might be listening, at some point, and do it properly, get out and enjoy the great weather that we're having. This is as good as it gets right now in April, isn't it?
The skies are blue.
Well, now
Jesus,
the skies
never been
are blue.
Happier.
Okay, let's put some gray skies into this mix here. So, Joey, first question, you know, last week when we were discussing the trade deadline, you know, we might probably just overlook the fact that what this return to play for the Vancouver Canucks might end up being. You mentioned that we were supposed to get some details, you know, last Saturday, Sunday, and we did get the details, and the original return to play for the Vancouver Canucks had them playing on Friday and Saturday, which we now know those games have been postponed. So, Joey, what do you make of this debacle of the return to play and, you know, JT Miller having to come out and speak for the team and the players? And maybe, like, where does this responsibility lie? Is it with the Vancouver Canucks as a team, or is it more of an NHL, NHLPA thing? And then how could this have potentially been a bit of a smoother transition back to the return to play?
Well, when we spoke 7 days ago on this very program, we had an idea that a schedule for return to play was going to be set. And then we eventually found out, in fact, not long after you guys went off the air, right? We saw what the schedule was going to look at. But we had no idea what was going to be transpiring, you know, behind the scenes with the health of the Vancouver Canucks players as they came off one by one the return to play protocol list. And I think there's some that just felt that, okay, well, as soon as that player comes off that COVID protocol list that the NHL releases every day, that means they're just ready to play. And that's obviously proven to be completely false. Now, we don't know each and every individual's health situation. You know, we heard, first of all, from JT Miller, who wasn't on that COVID protocol list, but he talked about what some of his teammates have been going through, even himself, and he hasn't been on the ice and been in regular, you know, NHL routine day by day, how it's affected him getting back onto the ice. But then we heard from Bo Horvat yesterday, and, you know, he had a real tough go of things with his health and with his family as well. The way I've seen this whole thing play itself out, I don't know if you can fairly lay blame to one party, or in fact lay blame to all parties involved. The way it's turned out here, and we may know more even as we get closer to game time tomorrow, how many players have been greatly affected by this, how some may have had lesser symptoms from when they were you know, recovering from after a positive test. So we, you know, JT Miller came out and said what he said, but if he hadn't, we have no idea what the doctors would have been saying to the league and to the PA if they were testing players, and if a number of them were not able to be game ready, and if they didn't have enough players to ice a roster, maybe they would have had to change the schedule and delay the restart regardless, right? It's been a roller coaster. It's been an absolute roller coaster for everybody involved, whether you're a player, a coach, a team representative, a broadcaster, or a fan. It's been a lot of highs and a lot of lows since the trade. Boy, doesn't the trade deadline seem like an eternity ago now with what's happened since then?
Or irrelevant.
It's been a crazy ride here, to say the least.
So, okay, sorry, Nav. I had one follow-up there.
Go ahead. It's just
regarding the play. You know, we know one situation already, Joey. You mentioned, you know, we're going to find out about the rest of the players, but we know one of them. Quinn Hughes apparently lost 10 pounds or close to it, and he was, you know, he required an IV because the state of his body was severely dehydrated and whatnot. And so I just think if there's anybody you're going to shut down, you know, we talked about shutting Petey down earlier because of the soft tissue damage that revealed more damage than initially, you know, that they initially revealed. But with Quinn Hughes having lost 10 pounds, and needing that IV, obviously he's up against it really tough. And for him to come back and play 19 and 32, the franchise defenseman, don't you think that they should shut him down? And even with Petey's situation, I mean, obviously dealing with a lingering issue of sorts, 19 and 32, these are your two franchise players. Don't you agree they should just shut him down? And if this season is already a write-off in ownership's mind, what's the point of bringing your franchise center and franchise defenseman back to play this brutal schedule? What do you think, Joey?
Well, I'll say a couple of things. A, we don't know if the owner thinks that this season is a write-off. Two, we haven't heard directly from Quinn Hughes yet about the situation he's gone through. There's been many that have reported on that, but we haven't heard from him directly. We don't even know if he's been on the ice with his teammates in practice the last couple of days when they've been trying to get back up to game speed. So I don't know if it's fair for anybody right now to say should they shut him down or not, because we really ultimately don't know what his current health status is and what the long-term ramifications might be. Again, maybe that's a conversation we have when we find out if he's in the lineup when they return to action tomorrow. Maybe that same conversation is said about other players if we find out that they're not ready to play. I understand the questions. I understand why that would be top of mind for so many Canucks fans, because as you're right, pretty valuable player to this team moving forward, whether they're trying to make a playoff push or whether it's being a part of the core of this team for years to come. In the case of Elias Pettersson, that to me is a little bit of a different situation because of his injury status. And that was something that's kept him out a whole lot longer than a lot of people were expecting. The fact that he's had to see the specialist multiple times. I think there would be greater concern right now if he wasn't skating. Okay, but he has been skating. Jim Benning confirmed that yesterday when he went with the media. He talked about that in his previous media gathering at the trade deadline. But that doesn't mean he's not going to be ready to get back to action anytime soon, and it doesn't mean they're not considering possibly shutting him down for the remainder of this season. So I can understand why so many people are thinking about it, but I don't think you can put both those players into the exact same conversation when you're talking about the merits of closing their season down as individuals, or if they do get back to 100% health, no matter what they've been dealing with, is there merit to having them get back into games before the season concludes?
No, absolutely. Fair enough. Joey, as fans on Twitter, usually, or even certain members of the media, we like to read into sometimes a little bit too much, read between the lines.
You think?
A little bit. But so watching Bo Horvat's, and this was all over Twitter yesterday from the fans and the media, is like one of the questions that Bo was asked was about the organization's support during this time. And he kind of just deflected towards more of the support he got from family and friends and fans. So do you think there's something more there? Is there a need to repair any relationship within the organization because how they were treated with COVID and how the organization handled it?
I'd like to think not. I mean, I know the medical people there. I've been a part of the organization. I've gotten to know them over the years, whether it's John Sanderson, who's the head athletic therapist, whether it's Dr. Jim Bovard, the head physician for the team. I'd like to think that the Vancouver Canucks organization would be tremendously looking out for the health and well-being of their players and their families. And again, to your point, a lot of people can read into things and look into things and say, why did certain individuals say this? Or why did certain individuals not answer the way people were expecting them to? I mean, I don't think anything should be misconstrued based on something Bo Horvat didn't say. Knowing the people that are with the organization that are dealing with the health and well-being of these players who are humans, I tend to think that the organization had their best interests at heart during a very, very difficult time to go through something none of them have ever gone through, not just as athletes, but as people. And I'd like to think that the Vancouver Canucks organization had their best interests and continue to have their best interests front and center as they get back to action here, hopefully by tomorrow.
Well, I guess looking forward to tomorrow's game and the rest of the season as a whole, do you get the sense that with what has happened to the main roster, so to speak, would the kids like Lynn, Gajovic, Rathbone, and possibly even Mikey DiPietro possibly get a look in the remainder of the season?
Who knows? Well, that will depend on the regular roster players here, the full-time, everyday NHLers, and what their health status is. I would think that, and again, we won't know. It's too difficult a question to either ask or have answered right now because we won't know. Maybe they get into the lineup because there's regular roster players that aren't healthy enough to play. Does that mean that the Canucks shouldn't give an opportunity to look at these players down the stretch? No, not necessarily. I think they'd love to be able to at some point see what one of their future goalies has to be able to play against NHL shooters. I think they'd love nothing more than to see how Cole Lind and Jonah Gajewicz and Jack Rathbone and some other players that they have high hopes for in the future, what they look like at NHL level action. But I'd like to think that if you've got your pros, the guys you've had with you the whole time, the guys that have been on COVID protocol, regardless of whatever their symptoms have been, I think you owe it to them that if they're healthy, you put them in the lineup and you play them. I think that's a big time must when you look at all that they've gone through here right now. Doesn't mean that they don't want the kids to play. Doesn't mean that they don't want to see what these guys have as far as their future outlook is concerned. But we really won't be able to answer that until we see the overall health of the team whenever they get ready to have a roster and lineup card filled out.
All right, we're talking with Joey Kenward here on the LarshCast on Sportsnet 650, home of the Vancouver Canucks. And Joey, friend of the show, Rick Dhaliwal, put out a tweet in the last half hour that he believes that Thatcher Demko is not ready to play. So that would mean that Braden Holtby is going to get a shot as long as he's ready to play. So if Thatcher Demko does need, you know, a week or so longer to get back into game shape, and Braden Holtby is the starter for the next, you know, 3-4 games, do you think that, you know, given the lack of playing time that Holtby's already had leading up to this 3-week break, I think that just doesn't set the Canucks up well for any sort of success in this short term in the next 3-4 games. So do you think the team would take these next 3-4 games to reassess and then perhaps go and change course and giving some more looks at players that maybe they didn't have a plan on playing or maybe evening out the ice time more than they likely plan on doing anyway?
Again, and I appreciate the question, almost unfair to even think about answering because you don't know what the health status is of the individuals trying to fill up the lineup card. Whether that information about Demko is fact or fiction, it really doesn't matter until we find out tomorrow which goalies are here. Remember, and a lot of people probably glossed over this, Canucks recalled another goalie to the market earlier in the week. You remember who that was, right, guys? That was Artur Silovs, who they recalled from Winnipeg. Okay? So in theory, the Canucks have four goalies here right now. They've got Demko, they've got Holtby, they've got DiPietro, and they have Silovs. Now, does that mean that Silovs might have to play? Who knows? We won't know until the team is back ready for action. And maybe we'll get some more clarity from Travis Green when the coach speaks with the media. And I don't know if you guys have touched on that earlier in the program, but he's scheduled to be a part of the Zoom call with reporters later on after practice today. I'm not dodging the question here. It's just I don't know if you can fairly answer that and then say, well, if Holtby doesn't win, should then they reassess their situation? Or if he does win, does that mean they should just continue to roll with him? Like, I understand why you're asking it, but it's almost what's the point in even bringing it up right now until we know what the situation is? Is that an okay answer or would
no,
you
no,
say,
fair enough. That's, you know,
that's totally fine. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I can, trust me, I can appreciate what people, you guys, fans, media, everybody wants to see what this team is going to look like. And everybody's wondering, okay, well, if certain players are out, does that mean certain other players should be given an opportunity? Hey, those questions are valid. Absolutely. But we really won't be able to even broach that subject until we know what the team looks like coming out of their lengthy time away from the ice together. So I can understand why certain things and certain people want to put things out there to report on what may or may not be happening with the team. But really, we're all in a situation where we won't truly know the whole status of the club as far as it looks in the short term until we see them step onto the ice at 4 o'clock tomorrow.
No, absolutely. Joey, changing it up a little bit, we were kind of discussing it before, is something that was kind of almost irrelevant this year due to this, you know, COVID outbreak was the trade deadline. I mean, oh yeah, we lost Adam Gaudet. Some people will say for, you know, you kind of traded him on the low side, didn't get much for him. But another trade we made and a player that we kind of brought in was Madison Bowie. When will this guy be in the lineup? When will he be ready to play? And what do you know about him? I mean, he was highly touted at one time and he's kind of fell out of favor recently, but... Is that a player that maybe the Canucks should be excited about? Canuck fans should be excited about?
You know, let me start by saying I was actually surprised. I didn't think that on deadline day, the Vancouver Canucks were going to be making any moves. And if it was any transaction, it might have been one or two. They wound up making three separate deals. Now, they weren't blockbuster moves by any stretch of the imagination. But I just thought with all the team had been going on and what the market had been looking like I was a little surprised at how many moves management were able to make. Did the Adam Gaudet deal for Matthew Highmore shock me? No. You talk to people inside the know who've been following the team quite closely over the last number of months, Ian McIntyre especially from Sportsnet.ca. You know, Canucks have been having this guy a part of trade talks for quite some time. Matthew Highmore, by all accounts, was a player they had on their radar for some time as well. So that trade happens, and I think you'll see Highmore in the lineup as quickly as he's able to clear mm-hmm. being out of protocol. In the case of Bowie, I've watched him for quite some time, having been just a standout defenseman in junior hockey playing in the Okanagan with the Kelowna Rockets. Was a huge, huge piece of their team that won a WHL championship and went to a Memorial Cup final. Was a gold medal winner for Canada's World Junior team that won the Worlds. A player that's had a tough time being a full-time, everyday NHLer. Remember, a guy that was drafted by Washington, came into their organization where that team was really starting to hit its peak. And were there any players on that blue line that he was going to jump over in the depth chart that wound up winning a Stanley Cup? Probably not. You know, he was one of the reserve players on that team that wound up winning it all a couple of years ago. A player then that obviously when the Capitals were trying to keep that defensive core intact, that, you know, he became expendable, wound up going to Detroit and had a tough time getting into the mix there. And then most recently with Chicago. So he's a player that still has, I think, a lot of runway left in front of him. Maybe it's just a case of he needs to be given an opportunity. Maybe he just needs a situation with a new team where he can be able to show his skill set, which is a pretty good, solid two-way defenseman. You know, he's not getting any younger, but by no means is he an old timer in this league. I don't know ultimately where he is on the depth chart. I don't know ultimately what the Canucks' future plans are to have him. But it's a player whose history has shown he's got some pretty good talent. Maybe it's just a matter of now getting the opportunity on a regular basis to showcase that talent can be taken to the highest level playing here on the West Coast.
All right. Thanks for that answer there. And, you know, Joe, we are right up against it here. So I hope you get a chance to go out and enjoy the sunshine today. Thanks again for your time and joining us every week. We really do appreciate your insight. Thank you.
You got it, guys. Enjoy your time as well. And by the way, quick plug coming up at 4 o'clock, because we've had some shuffling of the deck here on our
the Crow
lineup. Yes. Mark Crawford, legendary Canuck, coach, but a lot of people forget, was part of the team that wound up making their first ever trip to a Stanley Cup final. He's going to join us on Canucks Connected at 4 o'clock, along with one of the real characters. And I know each and every one of you guys, growing up as Canucks fans, loved to see this guy when he was in a Vancouver uniform, but hated to watch him when he was playing against the Canucks. And that's Jarkko Ruutu, who I was able to chat with from his home in Finland not long ago. He's a pretty good storyteller, and he's got some... I wasn't able to have all of those stories being told, shared across the radio airwaves, but that'll give you a sense of the stories that he's got set to tee up for us at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
He lives at Sportsnet 650. He lives in Dion Phaneuf's head forever. Anytime Phaneuf ever falls, damn it, Ruutu.
All right. Well, thanks again, Joey. We'll definitely be listening at 4 o'clock.
You got it, guys. Enjoy the rest of your show. Be well and stay safe.
Thanks, Joey.
All right, thanks again to Joey Kenward, and we'll be back here in a few moments. Stick around. You're listening to the LarshCast on Sportsnet 650, your home of the Vancouver Canucks.
And now, introducing the starting lineup for the LarshCast. TJ, Ryan, Zach, Joey, and now... on Sportsnet 650.
All right, welcome back to the LarshCast in our final segment of the show. It's an abbreviated show. We need to make way for the Blue Jays coming up in just about 35 minutes time. My name is Sat. You're with Thej, Nav, Joey, and we have producer Joel Gaudette as well with us. Just had an interview there with Joey Kenward last segment, and a big focus of the interview is obviously about the return to play for the Vancouver Canucks and how the players will be, you can say, forced into game action tomorrow, Sunday, against the Maple Leafs at 4 p.m. Forced into game action when their health is, you know, not at 100%, and especially coming off fighting COVID for many of them. It's going to be interesting to see how the team does come out, and if there is any sort of... I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't know if there's going to be any sort of extra motivation for the team to just prove people wrong, but they just may not have the energy behind them to be able to do so. It is going to be interesting, especially playing the Leafs, who are the number one team in the Scotiabank North Division. The Leafs, you know, are fighting for keeping number one in the division, while the Canucks are just trying to go through the motions and get back into playing another hockey game.
But is it fair? Is it fair? But is it fair to the Toronto Maple Leafs that they have to play the Vancouver Canucks after they've been resting for 3 weeks, you know, according to a certain Eastern media person? I'm not going to name him, but it's not fair that all these teams like Toronto, Winnipeg, who are going for the top spot in the North Division, have to play a rested Vancouver Canuck team.
You know what? If the Canucks come out and they win 6-1, then yeah, then you know that person has a
Wouldn't
point.
It be hilarious if this was just the little bit of rocket fuel to send this team to the next level, right? Like, what if the Canucks just came back and they just, like, the effects just kind of go away as soon as they hit the ice? They hear Streets and Al's voice and they're like, oh, guess it's time to do this. And they just kick into playoff mode and they just go undefeated for the rest. Like, could you imagine? Mikey DiPietro time? Oh, like, come God. On.
Could you? Let's just say this happened. It's not going to happen, guys. Let's be honest. Is this anything? But let's just say they came back and they just came guns a-blazing. They made the playoffs. They made a cup run. Who would play some of these guys in the movie they'd make? The Disney would have to make a movie, right? team, down and out, COVID.
Brad
Pitt with CGI is Brock Besser.
Well, Mark Ruffalo would have to play Travis Green, right?
Yeah, of course.
He'd have to play Travis Green.
Oh, Macaulay Culkin is EP, right? There you go.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, no. Okay, this can go down a different turn.
Tyler Myers played by John Cena?
No, he's played by a giraffe.
An actual giraffe
on skates. Yeah, an actual giraffe on skates. It's like Space Jam, but it'd be the hockey version.
Oh, God.
I was just thinking about the wide jaw.
Hey, so I gotta ask Nav something here, and he knows what I'm going to say. I had to bring it up. But look at the recent signings around the league, Nav. Are you not looking at the Pearson situation? I have to ask him. In a friendly way. No fighting this time. But, like, Nav, what are your thoughts on that deal? I know you still think you know, it, maybe it wasn't. It, I still think it's a bit too high on the AAV. But looking at Scott Lawton, Adam Lowry, and what was the one?
I'm gonna answer your question very quickly, so Sat, we can move on really quickly after I answer this, okay? Because I know you don't want to talk about
this. Quick, I wanted to hear a quick response.
It's gonna be something my mom used to say to me all the time: if all your friends jump off the bridge, would you do it too?
That's not what's happening
If some of these guys make stupid decisions, you shouldn't make them too. And maybe some of these guys are probably looking at the Pearson contract and saying, "Oh, look what he got."
That's how agents work. If Pearson has that much power to set the market like that, I think we're in trouble. I do believe, here, last thing I'll say, because I know we're going to get into a fight here. Let's just say one last thing. I do believe you're going to see more and more contracts coming out around this range, and you're going to look at that Pearson deal when all the dust settles, and you're going to be like, okay, maybe it wasn't as bad as the initial outrageous reaction. I'll leave it at that.
How much does Tyler Toffoli make? Thank you very much.
Okay, stop there. No more rebuttal there. But the bridge reference you had there, Nav, if it's Whistler Bungie, then of course you jump off the bridge with them, right? But if it's a different bridge, then you don't. But yeah, we can't talk about Whistler either. We just got an unsigned text here. Please do sign your texts. So EP in this Disney movie has to be played by Ryan Gosling for the ladies. Ooh. And that's a really, really good comparison. I mean, they're not obviously one-to-one. You put them side by side. But, you know, in a different room, I can see Ryan Gosling playing Pedersen there.
Who plays Hoglander?
Hoglander? Oh, yeah. He's got to be played by, I don't want to, this is going to sound like a bad thing, but it's got to be like, I don't know who it is, actually. No.
Well, hold up. Who would Adam, who would play Adam Gaudette? Would it be Thanos?
Oh, wow.
Does he have the rings?
Not according to me. That's according to everything out there. A lot of media. Wow. Not me. I'm just saying.
Oh, my God.
But pardon me a second.
That'll snap the season out of everybody.
So Nav's thoughts do not necessarily reflect those of the Large Cast or Sportsnet 650. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm really interested to see if someone does make a little bit of a, you know, whoever's good with computers can put a little bit of clip together of the snap. And then what happened to the Canucks?
Oh, my God. That would be
great. You know what? Send it to us out there. Listeners, if anybody has it, maybe we should make this a little bit of a contest or like a prize or something. I don't know, TJ. I'm not sure what we can do. But send us some of your videos of those people that are talented. Make something up with the Canucks season here.
With a Thanos snap. And
Whatever you want to do. If Thanos could be a part of it, but something about this season and how it's kind of played out. Like a movie trailer.
Did you guys see that there's an app where you can turn somebody into the opposite or one of the opposite genders, right? Hoglander as a woman. Did you guys see that? It was beautiful.
Michael Cera as Hoglander. We got a text. Another unsigned text. Come on, people. Sign your text.
Oh, my God. That's a good one. That's so good. So,
although, you know, I think Hoglander's built like a fire truck and Michael Cera's not.
Danny DeVito is Jim Benning? Yes or no?
Oh, come on, guys. I saw a photo recently of Jim Benning, the 7-year difference, and they were comparing it to Obama, you know, when he first took office.
Obama still looks good.
Yeah, no, while he was still in the last year of his office there. Yeah.
It's really funny. Obama aged during his presidency. Meanwhile, Michelle somehow got younger. It was weird.
No, but the comparisons are there. Like, you look at Jim Benning at his first initial press conference with the Canucks. Very young, you know. He doesn't have any of the extra layers of insulation there on the body. And then,
come on. Be fair, though.
And then you see the photo, like, 7 years into it. It's just like, wow, night and day. Kind of like an Obama-esque.
If we saw a picture of you 7 years ago, would you have hair?
Oh, come on.
He was holding on to it. But
I held on for too long. Yeah, no, this is the story. Nav, remember Paul in the locker room?
Yeah, he told me, just let it go, buddy.
No, but this is what he said. He said, TJ, you have a great head, a great bald head. Like, perfect round shape and everything. Take it off. And then the next day I came back, it was all gone.
Were you rocking the Costanza look for a while? Like, big bald spot on the top? Big cul-de-sac?
It looked brutal. It looks so bad in photos because you can see, you know, in real life, you walk around. I guess I'm a little bit taller than some people. And nobody can really see the top. But then when you look at photos, it's like you see all the little stragglers just kind of sticking up there. It looks so bad.
Yeah. Okay, I want to get into something here. And again, you're listening to the Large Cast on Sportsnet 650, your home of the Vancouver Canucks. So, Nav, you were saying that you heard some rumors about, or maybe some discussion, I won't call them rumors, just discussion about the Utica Comets and potentially a move there. So what do you want to get into on that?
Well, yeah, it's all kind of all over Twitter. A lot of the media members in New York have mentioned it, and obviously some of the...
Corey Hergott did the find, though. He's the one who found it, so give him credit for that.
So go ahead. No, you want to talk what exactly it was, and I'll go on from there.
Well, basically, he found that they filed a trademark for a new name, the Devils. Mm.
With the Utica,
so,
yeah.
For Utica, so...
For Utica. But see, that's not... From where I saw that, like, that, to me, didn't really... Wasn't the issue. The issue when it kind of people kind of jumped on that is, what would you want? Do you want a team brought back here? And obviously, there was a discussion before this pandemic year, is like, perhaps we should move the team at least for 1 year into Vancouver, into BC, where obviously you don't have to do the quarantine for some of the players. In hindsight, being 2020, probably would have been a good idea, but the organization didn't want to do it. So, the debate kind of started on Twitter last night, has been going pretty hard, is would you want a team closer to home? Would you want a team in BC, in Surrey, maybe in Abbotsford, in Chilliwack?
I was going to say Abbotsford. Abbotsford would be the perfect spot. I mean, we have the Abbotsford Event Center. It holds concerts and WWE and all that. And, like, it was built to hold AHL games. So, I mean... They have the perfect spot there. It was really dumb that the Heat were the affiliate for the Flames. Like, the only reason the team failed is because it was the team's number one rival. The only thing that would have been worse is if it was Chicago's. Like,
well, I agree, but to me, the issue with it, I would love for there to be a team in the affiliate, the AHL affiliate in BC, but does it work? Like, first of all, for travel, number one, and number two is, like, half the time, obviously, you're going to be on the road. Now, if you have a player, say, playing in Abbotsford, I mean, does Vancouver fly to every city? They don't. I mean, I'd rather have my team.
Okay, we lost Nav.
We lost Nav.
But I think what
probably
he was
the
saying.
Best. Probably
it's,
the best.
It's always great.
Okay, I'm back.
Damn it.
The most famous words of 2020 and 2021, I was on mute.
Burns.
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
As I was saying before I was muted, I'd rather have my AHL affiliate somewhere in Midwestern United States, in a big market, where a city that flies to every U.S. market. Because say you have an injury to a player and you need a player brought in, you need him there quickly. If you have a team, say, in, let's say, Chicago, let's say you have a team in, even in the West, like in L.A., say, L.A. flies everywhere. I want it to be equivalent so you can get anywhere quickly, as opposed to Abbotsford.
I think, Nav, the counter-argument to that is, it makes sense because you can fly to any city, but the Canucks, you know, we're talking about the Canucks, they play half of their games in Vancouver, right? Mm. And also the AHL has realigned over the past few years where San Jose, LA, even Vegas' farm team, and, you know, that's right beside where Las Vegas is.
Yeah.
It's in Henderson.
So
there's a lot more of a shift in the AHL to be on the West Coast, and the Calgary Flames and the Edmonton Oilers have their teams on the West Coast as well. The Canucks, I think, are the only team within the former Pacific Division that don't have their AHL affiliate on the West Coast.
I think
so. Do you think it would work? Do you think it would work in BC, guys? If they brought them,
I think so for sure.
If it was the Canucks farm team, if it was the Canucks farm team, it would work.
Yeah.
If it's any other team, dead in the water.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fair.
No, it's so
that's
true.
Fair. But where? Okay, so you would say Abbotsford, guys. Where do you think? Where would you?
Well,
put this
honestly,
team?
Abbotsford makes a sense.
There's a development interested to make something happen here in Surrey, but they want it to be
Bear Creek Park. That's
no
the home
they, Central Surrey, and
that's what I've heard. Yeah, Central,
but they want it to be funded by the public. So I don't know how the public necessarily feels about that. You know, rumors of the Aquilinis might be involved in this, but they don't want to pay for it. But they want to. So if it happens, though, if something happens in Surrey, like think about it, that would be a great location next to a SkyTrain, Central Surrey. I think that would be a huge opportunity for a team to kind
not
of
not too far from the highway
the
either. Not too,
The difference there, I think. I mean, the Aquilini Group and like any prudent business owner, they don't want to be paying a lease into a building they don't own, right? So they would probably want to own the building. And I think, I mean, from everything that I've heard in the past 5 years ago, you know, there was an interest in Abbotsford, but the municipality did not want to sell the venue because it's a moneymaker as long as it's full, right? So
They would definitely be able to open up this venue to other, you know, concerts and opportunities for people to come in and lease, you know, the space.
Why not play right out of Rogers Arena?
That's actually another option because that's where the Marlies will play out of the ACC or pardon me the Scotiabank Arena. That's still gross. That's still gross.
And you get money. I mean, they're gonna make revenue off. They own the arena. It's got empty. Like, there's no NBA team or any other team in here. So, you know, they got dates for them to be
there.
The ice is in there.
I think the problem with that, Nav, is the problem there is Like it could work in Vancouver, but it's not easily accessible for most of the fans. And you know, the AHL, it's a cheaper ticket, so you need people to be able to get there. And you're not going to want to pay $8-$9 for a beer. You don't want to pay $25 for parking. You don't want to be traveling an hour.
Yeah, so fair enough. But do they not? And I may be wrong. The lacrosse team, is it called the Vancouver Warriors, right?
Yes.
Do they not have a cheaper? They obviously have a cheaper ticket, but
they slash the prices
for the beer. I may be wrong, but I remember hearing that at least certain games are
get a hot dog and a beer for $5.
Yeah, it's cheaper, right? So would they? I mean, if I'm the Aquilinis and that's your option, I'd be like, yeah, man, let's come into this arena for the AHL game. The beer is going to be half price. This is going to be half price. Hey, you're making money. What are you spending money on? You're going to be making money, I think, personally.
You know, I got to say this one thing that was cracked me up yesterday. So, you know, when that news came out and I kind of like tweeted it out, Surrey comments, anyone? This Tanbury comes in. No, you can't call them the comments. You got to call them the Surrey Jacks.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, you know what? It would work. It would work. We laugh about that. The name we laugh about. I think it would work in Surrey too, though. Because
they would eat that up.
Population.
No, I got a better name for you there. Like so, I run a dynasty fantasy hockey league, and you know, part of the rule is everyone has to have their own you know, team name. So it's not just your own name. And one of the guys on the team, you know, is Jazz.
Yeah.
So his team. Is called the Surrey Lumberjacks. So it's got both. It's got the Canucks connection with the Lumberjack, and it's got the Surrey connection with just the Jack.
That's pretty smart.
I like that. But Sat, I will say this, and I know you're going to say you weren't paying attention, but you shouldn't talk about hockey, pools, or anything ever again.
Oh, PJ, yes. Thank you, Nev, for calling him out.
I mean,
last, zero wins.
No, one. He had one win, but the person he beat, like, honestly, I don't think he didn't even set his lineup, the other guy, man. I don't want to mention
I haven't set my lineup the entire year.
Sack comes in, guns a-blazing on draft day. He calls himself the Ober Gods, the self-proclaimed king of fantasy hockey.
1-12.
He says, you guys are all done, I'm going to win. And he's 1-12.
I'll send you guys a picture of the two trophies that sit next to me
we've all won.
I'm gonna crap on Ryan here too. Like Ryan, you know, lots of hockey knowledge, knows a lot about, you know, sports in general.
Doesn't know how to get his internet working though.
Didn't know how to get his internet working. Maybe that's why he only had two wins. I mean, he did better than Sat, but two wins.
The platform you guys chose to use.
I'm sorry.
There's always an excuse.
He didn't know how to use the app. That's why he
I use the other app.
Do you know English?
Sat was complaining about literally what takes 1 minute to set your lineup for the week.
It's remembering to do it because I open the other app and I forget about the one that we use.
Well, I'll
that's
just say
incompetency. That's a new problem.
I ran out of time, guys. That's what he's saying. He ran out of time.
Me and TJ
hey guys,
represented.
You know what? I live day to day, okay? I just take today and I think about
See,
today.
See, that's the problem with you guys. You don't have all the information. You don't know what you're
talking
about.
Your generation.
I have the information, okay? I am informed.
All I know is I had 10 wins. I mean, I might get eliminated in the first round, but that's fine. But I had 10 wins.
You're playing my brother right now.
TJ, you remember. I am playing your brother. But the funny thing is, TJ, if you remember, I laughed at my team. My team is called the Senior Citizens, all right? Because at one point, I just had all old guys on my team, and I got Kessel.
You made a very good move, by the way, Nav. And this is a good fantasy advice for everybody listening out there. Tyler Seguin, it's coming back. Look at him if he's available. Pick him up.
Yeah. I picked him up. If I make it out of this round, I'm going to have a good option here.
You know what happens, though, when you start thinking ahead of yourself?
You lose.
Yeah, there you go. But I'm not gonna. I hope.
I gotta give some love. I gotta give love some to the Leafs because Mitch Marner's been great. He's been carrying my team.
Oh yeah. Man,
as much as I hate the Leafs.
We had a couple more. We were talking about our Canucks Hollywood movie. You know, if they go on a magical run here and win the cup, Tom Cruise as JT Miller on the text line here.
That's from
Ryan
one.
In the Loops. That speech would be even more epic. He says.
That'd be awesome. So, guys, I don't know. Okay, this doesn't have anything to do with this movie, but I don't know. Have any of you guys seen the movie Molly's Game?
Oh, yeah, so good. Great game.
Okay,
oh, great movie.
Great
yeah.
movie. Except, have you seen the first, like, 20 seconds of that movie?
I know.
I'm sitting down. This was, like, last Sunday. I'm sitting down with my wife, and we kind of never get to pick a movie. We always kind of argue. I'm like, hey, look at this. It looks good. She's, like, the actress in it. I'm like, okay, it's gambling. I'm going to enjoy that. So we sit down to watch the movie on a Sunday afternoon. 30 seconds into this movie, I'm like, and she just looks at me and starts laughing because I'm like, WTF, are you kidding me? Why would you ruin this movie for me 30 seconds? For those people that haven't seen it, I'm not going to tell you what happens in it.
Well, just tell them. Just
skip
tell
the
them.
First 30 seconds. No, I'm not going to. If I had to live through that misery, so do you. Watch the movie. It's a brilliant movie.
Yeah.
But the first 30 seconds really suck as Canuck fans. Like, there was unnecessary to do that.
Yeah. Is that the scene with the Bruins? Is that what it is?
Yeah. It's all over
so
again.
Actually, you know, having a little extension on that, we have to give props to Vancouver boy Milan Lucic for 1,000 games. We haven't done that yet.
Yes.
And you know what? There's been a lot do of history we, though, with the Vancouver Canucks.
Do we really?
I know.
Hey,
I was just going to say, like...
We do. You know why? Because people in Vancouver trashed their family's hometown church. So, yes, you give him props. He's a Vancouver East fanboy. I grew up playing baseball with him. We went to the Provincials and Little League together, him and his brother, Jovan. He was such a scrawny little kid back then. And, you know, I went to school in L.A. I came back. You know, he's out in there playing in the Giants, whatever. I tune in one day and I look at this behemoth monstrosity on the ice. I'm like, who's that player there? It's Milan Lucic. Something happened between the ages of like 15 and 18 where he
it's
blew
called
up.
Puberty, man.
No, it was insane. So I 100% give him props. You know, he did have love for the city, and the city threw it in his face just because he played for a different team there in Boston. So
I wish he would have got a little bit more love on air there. They were kind of, I know Rittich had his first game as a Maple Leaf, which was huge. Obviously, it was the biggest story of the day. But you know, maybe give some props to a guy that played 1,000 games. But you know.
John Cena as Bo Horvat. More on the text line here.
There we go. I like Timothy, it. I want Big Match John.
Timothy Chalamet as Petey. And then here's a good one. It was Matt Damon as Nate Schmidt. No. Sorry, Fuzz from Burnaby. Our own Ryan Cattermole is playing Nate Schmidt.
All right. You know what? We're
before you go, last bit of news for the Canucks fans there. Vasily Pukulzin, he's not expected to come back until after June, which means we're going to have 3 years of his ELC contract starting next season. Great news for Canucks fans.
Absolutely. So, you know what? That's it for us today, and thanks for listening this week. My name's Satin, here for Thej, Nav, Ryan, producer Joel. Again, thanks for listening to this expedited...
Blue Sky.
Joey as well. Thanks for listening to the expedited version of the LarshCast. Stay tuned here on Sportsnet 650 as the Blue Jays take on the Royals in the first of a doubleheader coming out in about 20 minutes' time. Take care and stay safe.